Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Punks and dunks. Not a game, not a game. We'll talk about punks and dunks.
This kid is as cool as the other side of the pillow.
I got the answer to your question, so call me AI. Everybody knows that blah, blah, blah. Some try to test us, and you can too. But you can't step over like your name was Tyloo. Body daddy, we don't stop the body. AC in the place, Flaker Valor, everybody. Don't come through if your game is weak. Get knocked on your ass, Maurice Cheeks.
Top five. Oh yeah!
Puss and dunks! Can you feel the raindrops? Puss and dunks! New breed of rebel rock!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Punks and Dunks, a basketball podcast brought to you by gettingitout.net. The first round is over, and the second round has even already begun, but let's pick up the pieces on round one and try to make sense of what we saw. Starting out in the West, the number one seed Oklahoma City Thunder swept the New Orleans Pelicans with ease. The young squad walked right through those silly birds, and I think I was totally wrong that the Lakers or the Warriors would have eliminated the Thunder. How foolish of me. How foolish of all of us who had such a silly take. The Thunder seem ready to be there, at least ready to be where they are right now in the second round, waiting to face the Dallas Mavericks. That kicks off Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that's the time that we do everything on here at Punks and Dunks. The Mavericks, of course, got there by defeating the Los Angeles Clippers 4-2. Much like the Pelicans, I don't know what the Clippers do going forward. Each of them have pieces that they hope to retain, resign, but do they really want to do that? I don't know. In New Orleans, that McCollum, Ingram, Zion thing, I think it's safe to say it's not working. And in Los Angeles, the Harden, Kawhi, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, there's evidence that it works when they're healthy and they're playing, but that's always going to be the key when all your primary options are over 30 years old. I don't know what the Clippers do. Interesting that James Harden and Paul George were kind of mum on their future. I think both of them want to stay a Clipper, but there's going to be a big motherfucking market for old Paul George out there. In the rest of the West, the Timberwolves, of course, swept the loaded Phoenix Suns 4-0. Phoenix Suns owner Matt Ishbia is not concerned for some reason. We don't know why, but he's telling everybody that they are envious of his position. And I don't know what position he's in or thinks he's in, but it doesn't look very good. You're stuck with Bradley Beal forever. All right. And hey, I was a Suns fan for a large portion of my life as a kid. Well, the Charles Barkley portion of their life. So that's really essentially like 4 years. But I'm telling you, when I was a kid, I was donned head to toe in purple. I looked like a Teletubby in support of those Phoenix Suns with a blasting orange ball sometimes dashing across my chest. So as a franchise, I got a lot of love for. I'd love to see them figure it out. Unfortunately, they're stuck with Kevin Durant too, who is not my least favorite player, but a guy that whose personality I just cannot get down with. Of course, basketball-wise, he's a genius, but maybe not so much in where he picks to end up. And the last first round series in the West was the Denver Nuggets, the returning champions, pretty much walking through the 7th seed Los Angeles Lakers. I know last year it was the most competitive sweep ever, or so they say. Was this one the most competitive gentleman's sweep ever? No, it wasn't. Though maybe it showed some chinks in the armor of the Denver Nuggets, and the Timberwolves jumped on that right away in their game one, which just happened over the weekend, and surprisingly, stunningly, took game one from the Nuggets at their home court in Denver on the shoulders of the great Anthony Edwards. That ascent is incredible to watch. This guy fucking rules. In the East, the Heat did not compete against the Boston Celtics. Yeah, they won one game, but I believe that was an anomaly. And for the most part, Boston waltzed through that one. Disgusting to watch, but as expected, I would have liked to see them challenged a little bit more. And I don't think that's going to happen in the second round because the Cleveland Cavaliers won in seven games on the back of Donovan Mitchell, who scored 87 points combined in game six and seven. Game six, of course, was a loss in Orlando. Game seven was a win in Cleveland. A game it looked like they were going to lose early in the first half. They were down by 18 and they looked like they had rolled over. I wasn't watching the game with sound on. I like to play records while I watch teams that aren't the 76ers. But you could see that there was a sense of urgency that Mitchell was playing with that maybe the rest of the team didn't have and eventually came to match. So while I'm sure Magic fans are disappointed, imagine the Cavaliers if they had tanked that last game of the season to intentionally play the Magic and then lost the series. It would have been catastrophic. You're probably losing your best player anyway. Maybe in that case, you fire the coach too. I'm not sure what happens in Cleveland in the long run. But tomorrow, they got to turn it right around, head up to Boston and play the toughest team in the league. It's hard to imagine the series not being a sweep. But at the same time, you look at Cleveland's roster and you're like, why aren't they good? Which is a weird thing to say about a team who just made it to the second round. So I should walk that back a little bit. They're obviously good. But they've got three all-stars in their starting roster. Jared Allen's been hurt. And one borderline defensive player of the year candidate in Evan Mobley. And pretty decent role players with Caris LeVert, George Niang, guys who can at least get buckets off the bench. Niang I've seen be played off the floor in the playoffs, but you have Max Strus out there as well, who's a gunner and a verified reliable player in the playoffs. I'm just hoping they can put up a little bit more of a fight than I think they will against Boston. This whole thing at this point is about Boston not winning. On the other side of the bracket, the Pacers beat the Bucks 4-2. And the only thing anybody's really talking about from that series is Patrick Beverley, which, my man, he did not look good. He threw the ball not once, but twice at the fans in the section behind the bench. And apparently it was in response to one of the fans yelling Cancun on three when they were about to break a player huddle, which is pretty funny, but not pretty cool to throw the ball at the fans. Miss, hit the girl in the face, throw it back again. Damn, Pat, doubling down. Interested to hear what he has to say about all that on his podcast this week. You know, I'm going to be listening. And of course, the podcast was part of his other issue that night when he told some reporter from ESPN that she can't interview him because she doesn't subscribe to the pod. Now, I got to say, he's been doing this gimmick all year long. So this is just people like throwing shit on top of a bad night for him. Subscribe to the pod has been a thing he's been saying literally the entire season. He does it with every reporter that's interviewing. That's why the other ones stayed. This was not a targeted thing, though I did read this morning that he's already reached out to apologize. Now, I'm not here to defend Pat Bev. I'm just telling you the facts. Oh, yeah. The Pacers won that series. They've earned the right to go up against the New York Knicks. They're going to play him tonight at 7:30 on TNT and True TV. Does anybody watch the game on True TV? Why would you do that? When TNT is an option, when Barkley and the boys are there for you, why would you go somewhere else? And this matchup, of course, puts them against the New York Knicks, who defeated my beloved Philadelphia 76ers in a six-game series that was totally intense. And I know I'm biased, but it was the best one I watched in a while. So Brian Birdsey, vocalist of Lesser Minds and Hundreds of AU, as well as a dedicated New York Knicks fan, decided we'd get back on the podcast and discuss the series, no matter how much it pained me. So that's what the rest of this is. For the sixth episode of Punks and Dunks, Getting It Out selects Brian Birdsey of Lesser Minds and Hundreds of AU. Again, but last time you and I talked, I don't think it was really in our mind that the 76ers and Knicks were going to play each other in the playoffs. They're pretty far apart on the standings.
We talked a lot in the chat, I guess, about like you were like, oh, I think we can make this matchup happen. I think it's going to be a good series. And I was like, yeah. I mean, obviously, I think that you guys were a much better team than Miami. And so I obviously would want Miami. That's why, like, when people got mad about like that whole Paul Reed thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, obviously you want to play us versus the Celtics. Like, I get it. Like, why is anybody upset about that? Right. There's no reason to be upset about that. Like, the Celtics are a great team, but I obviously wanted Miami, but like, dude, I made a collage of pictures of Jerry Tarkanian biting the towel. And I've just been sending it to like, I haven't posted on anywhere. I'll probably post it right after we're done talking today, but I've been sending it to all my friends. I'm like, this is what like I've been going through. Almost 100% basketball related. And they're like, oh dude, you okay? What are we watching, the Knicks series? Like that was a series for the ages.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was every fucking game was down to the wire. Like it was a real, really cardiac arrest type situation every single night. And, both teams played really well. You know, each team made mistakes and it's like, oh, like, dude, game five, I was beside myself. Beside myself. Like I no social media the whole next day. I didn't go on YouTube at all. I didn't open up Google, nothing. I did none of that because I just didn't want to see the headlines. I didn't want to see the reactions. Like it was, I actually, it was probably the most productive day that I've ever had. Like, cause I got so much done just to distract myself from this team. And I was sure we were going to lose. I was 100% sure we were going to lose game six. I was like, because that's a huge momentum shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a huge momentum shift.
But to the point of game six, when game six started, and this is just to the series too, when game six started and New York came out like that, I was not concerned because of the way the series was. Like, there's no way that this is going to be a 20 point blowout. Like it's
now,
there's no way that this gap is not going to be closed. And I was texting with friends of mine who were like, I'm not even watching this show. Sent me a picture of their screens off. I was like, you pussies, get back in here. Like, this is let's ride this one out. And of course it ended in your favor, but it ended close. You know?
Oh my God. And so at halftime, like I was like, this fucking team, they're going to look like this. You know, I was like losing my mind, losing it. And then, so I'm like, I'm done. So I turned it off. And then that lasted about as long as it took me to go outside for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and then come back in happier.
Yeah.
as long as it took me to do that. And then I went up in my bedroom, grabbed my phone, put it on my phone, and just laid there underneath the covers, like crouched to it like this. And it was just me grunting underneath all the covers, pillows on top of me. Just, oh God, terrible. And then when we won, I don't know. I haven't had a drink in a while, but like I almost felt drunk. I was drunk with anxiety. Like it was awful. It was awful. But yeah. I mean, one of the things I gotta say first and foremost, like rest in peace, Tobias Harris. Mm.
Good riddance, we say here.
Oh God. That was a really ugly playoff performance from him. But like Tyrese Maxey, wow. Like yeah. Really, we did a good job on him. One of the big reasons that we won game six was because I think we held Maxey in check for that game.
New York did an interesting thing where when Joel Embiid was setting that pick for him, like he usually does, they kind of realized he's not rolling. We don't need to, roll with him. The big guy, Hartenstein, can just pop out on Maxey and just stop him for a second and give whoever the defender was time to get back to him and then, you know, relocate Embiid because he's hanging out around the 3-point line. And that seemed to totally fuck up Maxey's flow and worked for most of the game. You know, eventually he found a way to get around it, but.
Oh yeah.
It was a good move by Thibs.
He had a game kind of like the game two that Brunson had, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, other than that, he was just superb. He was absolutely incredible. So,
well, I appreciate that he had that moment in game five. I mean, obviously for the win, but so he got a lot more attention. So people could really see like, this is how fucking good this guy, the way he makes those layups at that speed, the way he finishes is incredible. I don't know how he gets him up there. You know what I mean? Like it's so quick. He's moving so fast. I don't know how he manages to get the ball in, but it was cool to see him do that on that stage.
Dude, he was so good. He was so good. And campaign had a couple moments.
That fucking guy, like, man.
When he would come on the court, I'd be like, oh, he shot well. I was actually, you know what? I was gonna text you this yesterday, but I was like, all right, I'll save it. I fucking hate Kelly Oubre, but like, I can't deny that he actually had some really impactful plays. He defended Brunson really well, as good as you could, especially in those first two games. Like, he did really well.
Yeah.
And I thought he was like, Brunson sort of started to figure it out. And so he was just making plays elsewhere. And I thought he did a pretty good job.
He did, but anytime Kelly Oubre takes a jump shot, I hate it. I don't want him taking jump shots. He's not good at them, right? And of course he made one or two, but when he's playing defense and going to the rim, it's all good. I didn't like Oubre prior to the season, but when they picked him up for, he played on a fucking minimum. He's not getting a minimum again next year after this year.
Somebody else
is taking him, but yeah, he proved himself.
I don't know if do you think he's going to be on that team next year?
No.
No.
The only players that the Sixers have locked up for next year are Embiid, Maxey, and Paul Reed, I believe. The rest is everybody's out. That's why they have so much cap space.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, they're going to probably go get a big free agent.
Well, that's what,
Donovan Mitchell moves, nah, makes a lot of sense.
He's, not the guy. No, I need somebody who can defend.
Yeah. True that.
Well, it's funny to like go back through this in my mind. I don't feel like I remember much of game one. But for you guys, that was a big game. That was home game. Tell me about game one from your perspective, if you can.
Well, game one.
Oh, hold on a second. Sorry. I remember why I don't remember it. Cause I was at a school function for my kid and I was watching updates on my phone and I turned it on for 30 fucking seconds. And it was when Embiid threw the ball off the backboard and hurt his knee. And
yeah.
And then laid there with that one eye wide open, looking like a fucking maniac. So I do remember game one.
Well, yeah. Oh, now I vividly remember. Thank you for, you actually placed all those images for me. Well, yeah. So for game one and game two, I just remember Josh Hart making big hustle plays, shooting extremely well from three, because the Sixers were leaving them open. They were, test. I couldn't believe that they didn't try to cover him a little bit more in the second game after how he performed in the first game. But, I guess you got to trust the statistics with him a little bit. Like, you're not thinking he's going to shoot that well. You know what I mean? Like, all the time. And he had an 0-for-7 game.
Yeah.
And still, it was like a great game for him. Like, he got a ton of rebounds and like just making hustle plays and keeping plays alive, steals, shit like that. And he has been really superb throughout this entire series. So like, it feels good knowing like in those first two games, it's like, oh wow, he's like we got a playoff dog. Like this is what he does.
Yeah.
And like, really, he's done such a superb job in place of Randall. Mm-hmm. And that's not to disparage Randall. It's just like Randall could have Randall wouldn't be content with like, if he got 19 rebounds, but like no points. Like, that's not a good, Randall be like, this is a terrible night. Like, Josh Hart's like, I'm having a fucking amazing night.
Right.
So, worried about Brunson, honestly, worried about Brunson during that whole thing. I'm trying to think what else with that game. But, that was a close game too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember the score. I don't remember the score of that one.
I don't remember the score, but I know for the whole series, it was a 1-point differential, which is insane.
It's insane.
It's as close as you can get.
It's so awesome, though. Like, it's so, and the other thing is going into, because I knew game three was going to be really rough. Right. Like, I was like,
it was going to be, but
I didn't know how rough it was going to be. I also knew that it was just going to be a very difficult game to win. I didn't think, I told you, prior to the series started, I'm like, I think the Knicks are going to be in six. And the reason I said that too, and this was just like such a stupid thing, but this is how well, I guess I kind of regard the Sixers, because I do think they're a really good team. Last year we were the fifth seed and, the Cavs were the fourth seed. So I said that last year, I also said Knicks in six because we were going to win it at home.
It ended up being five, right?
It ended up being five. And I had that still in my head that, oh, we're going to clinch it and it's going to be in six, because I thought that, like, because I just heard all week and I kind of agreed with, like, if the Sixers were healthy, they would have probably been the second seed this year. I kind of just like, yeah, obviously they would have. Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, Embiid misses a ton of time. Everybody got on that team, got hurt for a little while.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even realize how close the Knicks and Sixers regular season record was. It was only 3-game difference. And, yeah, and Embiid missed 40 or something. Or whatever, you know.
Right, like, right. Like, you got to think he's going to be the difference maker in at least a few of those games, right? So, yeah, of course they would have been the second seed. So I just kind of had it in my head that, like, the Knicks were the lower seed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, Knicks and six. I didn't really. And then I'm like, when by the time it got to a game six, I'm like, oh, I don't know if we're going to win this. Like, but like game three, I knew they were going to take a swing. I didn't like, not literally, but yeah, that almost happened. Like that was a fucking insanely dirty game.
Before we get into game three, which I'd love to, I want to go back to game two. Ooh. Because that was the first one that I like really got to sit down and watch the whole thing. And that was, of course, another tight one and
controversial game.
By the end of it, I am doing like silent karate in my living room upstairs, like, because it seems like I got a drink in my hand. It seems like this is it, man. We're coming away with one. That's all you want in the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
And then all that nonsense happens at the end. And to me, I am not a ref complainer guy, and I'm not going to be right now either. The Sixers just blew that one. And they just handed it over. I forget how many seconds were left, and they were up by whatever. And then they threw it away. And that one was painful for me.
Well, that was, you know, that was a gaffe on the part of like we had a bunch of fuck ups in game five. Mm-hmm. And that basically kind of equal out to y'all's fuck ups in that game at the end.
Right. Right.
Because there was a timeout, wasn't there? Like
they were trying to get one, but they didn't get one.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But you gotta, he's gotta come on the fucking court for that.
Right. Yeah. We'll just like, walk Spolster, in. Yeah.
Spolster comes on the court. There's right. They're stopping the clock. Like,
that's, oh yeah. I blame happening. The Sixers so, for it. I don't blame. Like so, I said,
and like, you know, that's pretty dumb. And there's another play in that game where Deuce McBride just literally ripped the ball out of Maxey's hands.
Yeah.
And like, you can't let him do that.
Right.
But Deuce was a monster. He had a great home series there too.
Like, yeah, I thought he was going to continue to be a problem. Fortunately, he wasn't as much of a problem as he was in those two games, but
those two games, he was great. So,
which really, really supplemented for the lack of scoring from Brunson on those first two games.
Yes. Yeah. Like the whole kind of team kind of rallied around him. And then, mm-hmm. yeah. As far as, you know, there's going to be the controversy. We got to probably talk about this at least a little bit. Did Maxey get fouled?
Probably, but I don't think you make those calls then.
I'm in the agreement there, but like, you know, it evens out at some point. You know what I mean? Like they go one, it's the home team. You're mm-hmm. going to be the home team in the next game. Like it's just the way it is. So the Knicks stole one on their home court,
The Sixers gave it away. You know, it can go either way. Yeah,
that's right. So which was like, that's why, but that goes right into game three where I'm like, we're not, they're so pissed off right now. And like when, like, you know, and I mean, look at, you saw Embiid was fucking despondent. He wouldn't look at the camera. He's like, we're the better team. We should be up 2-0 right now. No,
okay, I appreciated that so much. Him saying, even if it was bullshit, and obviously it ended up being, but saying we're going to win the series, like to me, because this is a guy who we've been watching for years who sucks in the playoffs. You know, when it matters, it seems like he doesn't give a shit. And for him to actually like speak it that he gives a shit, and then to come out in that game and just barely play basketball in the beginning, but be like a total lunatic, I fucking loved it. And I knew how dirty he was being. And I said to my wife right away, I said, when he pulled Mitchell Robinson's leg, I said, oh, he's going to get fucking kicked out. This is it. And if that would have happened, the game for the series would have been over. Never did I think at that moment that he was about to put 50 on that night.
Dude. And I was like, the whole time, I'm like, oh, just seething that he's still in the game. Seething, dude. And then the fucking clip on Hartenstein, that pissed me off. And then he ended up hurting Mitchell Robinson. that really pissed me off. And we didn't mention game four, which was fucking insane.
Is that when New York City, the New York Knicks fans officially flipped on Joel Embiid? Was that the moment where you guys officially flipped?
When we lose Mitchell Robinson, yeah, I think that was it. Because like I was reading a lot on, you know, fucking Facebook and shit, people commenting on that game, and it's like, well, Sixers are getting back for that loss in game two. Like that's why the refs are kind of giving them a call. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's a big difference. Like one's a foul where like nobody's trying to hurt Maxey. The other one is like you're clearly trying to hurt the player that's going up. And then you actually hurt him on a subsequent play later. Like that was, yeah.
But to be fair, he didn't create the injury with Mitchell Robinson. He already had that. Aggravated it.
In the court,
this was an aggravated injury. It wasn't a created.
Yes.
Pre-existing.
But still, like with beyond a little bit above the line of like rough. That I think is like fair. You know what I mean?
Well, you said something interesting when you and I were texting about it is that I of course brought up like, how can Knicks fans be upset with this? You had a whole era of dirty play. It was like, what the fuck? That was what the team was known for. I'm always going to have them. You got people in flowery collared shirts running off your bench, throwing punches. Like, yeah. Like, you know, it's part of the legacy of the team, but you said something interesting where you just said that's a different era.
Yeah. Which it's different. This is a softer era. This is a more athletic 100%, era.
Though. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of like also in the 80s and 70s and stuff, there's a lot of guys on the court that like there were professional basketball players, like, you know, reserve players or bench that like maybe should not have been like, would never come close to sniffing the sure. NBA now. There's obvious stars that would play well now or play great now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, there are a lot of people who maybe shouldn't have been there. And like now it's not even like that. Like you could say about 99% of the league, like deserves to be in the league. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like just from a fit, athletic, like professional standpoint, like that's why older people hate the game. They're like my dad who's like, the 3-point line run the game. Like, no, it didn't. It made it, it didn't make it so fucking like gloopy. Like it's just a lumpy, stumpy game. And now shooting is fun.
Right.
And he's like, oh, you know, it takes a lot of energy to go to the baskets.
That's such a fun. I love the old guy take, man. Yeah. Well, game three, as we mentioned, Embiid puts up 50.
Incredible game.
Still for that game, there wasn't a lot of excitement. And I'm like, it was good. Glad he won. But I sat on that couch about as calm as I could possibly be watching him do that because you're still down one game. And like it was great, but it was just like, well, there's a lot of fucking work to do here. And then when they fucking lost it again in game four, I didn't think there was a chance they were coming out of game five with
it. I didn't think so either. I thought, oh, well, Knicks and six, I was wrong. Game five, it's going to be game five. It's great. Fantastic. We're going to win one at home. Mm-hmm. Game four was fucking insane, dude.
Again, that's one I missed a lot of. I can't believe I missed two Brunson. Of these games.
Just fucking Brunson coming alive. Oh, it was so great. It was such a great performance from him. The one that he needed to have after the first two games.
Yeah.
It was such an important game to like get, you know, you want to split that away series and it was just right down to the wire, dude, just all these games, right? Gritty. Like, and then you had like, you know, Mitchell Robinson was out of that game. So I'm like, we're fucked. We're going to fucking lose this. Like, you know, I don't go into these things positive, but like, you know, they do, but the things is just like these teams do, they did all series long. One hits really hard first. The other one hits back. They go back and forth. They match each other's play. Mm-hmm. Like this team matches up well. That's why the series was so exciting. Like at any point you could see like Hield went on a fucking run of threes yesterday or two days ago, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like Brunson was just matching him for a little bit. Like they go back and forth in a lot of ways. One goes to the rack. The other goes to the rack. You know what I mean? Like that's they kind of like mimic each other's play in a lot of ways.
Well, the only the big gap is the rebounding. And I knew that going in. Everybody knew that going in, that the Knicks are going to out rebound them. And that to me is like the whole series is it came down to rebounding.
And I think it's going to be the difference in the series against the Pacers. I think the Pacers are going to have a very difficult time. They're really going to have to be on their shooting game to win. And we have perimeter defenders. Mm-hmm. We have guys who are going to contest your shot. And like we have cardiac dudes. We've dudes who've been doing a lot of cardio that can, if you want to play fast, we can play fast too.
Oh, they want to play fast. That's the only way they play.
Yeah. So, but you know, I'm not going to put it past the Pacers to maybe knock the Knicks on their heels again. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be Knicks in five.
I could see that. I could see four, but you never know. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to totally disparage the Pacers, you know, after they won a series of their own, but it's hard to imagine them coming out with this one. But you got the fastest team against the slowest team, and not that, I mean the style of play, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting the way that shakes out. But what did you see from this series for the Knicks that has you concerned?
The use of a 7-man rotation. Hmm. I don't want to rely on that. I don't think that's a very good idea. I think you're going to have to get, now that Bogdanovich is no longer.
Right. He was the eighth guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once he went down, that was it. Like, mm-hmm. Precious Achiuwa played his minutes well. I thought he deserved some time in game five. That was one of my biggest complaints, was that like Josh Hart was out there for 53 minutes.
Fucking dibs, man.
And like you could have just given him a rest because I mean, like he's not making his free throws because he has no legs underneath. That was an important part of game five. There's a lot of things that went wrong at the end of game five. And I just was like, oh, well, you know, Embiid's going to get gassed. He really didn't. Embiid had a decent fourth quarter in that game.
Oh, game five, man, he was throwing that ball around. Like every pass was going out of bounds. That was infuriating watching him just fucking, that was the third quarter though, but
he was having a rough start. He started to pull it in a little bit willing him. So like, you know, he was getting, dude, I thought, I just thought he was going to be like really terrible and just be like useless out there. Like basically just kind of hanging around half. Mm-hmm. it was so awful. It was such a terrible loss. And I think a big part of that was a 7-man rotation. Hmm. And they did it again in game six. And I was like, this isn't going to work.
I thought Precious was out there for a few minutes. Maybe I'm wrong though. No.
Yeah. And the thing is, Precious had success in his game in game four. Like he gave good, he made some great defensive plays, and that's what we needed. And it's really tough to play defense with like when you don't have any legs underneath you. You know what I mean? Like you're going to get fucking blown past. That's what was happening. And I wanted him to change that. But like, I mean, I heard afterwards, he basically said, I only pull these guys out when they have too many fouls. Like they ask to come out. If they don't ask to come out, I leave them in. Okay. I see it though. Like this is these Nova Knicks, like that's who they are.
Right. But they're going to be put to the test. They're going to be running in this next series.
They're going
to
be running.
You got guys on the bench that do have playoff experience. You necessarily don't want to use them, but they can be a body out there for a little bit. Burks is still around, right? Even Shake Milton is there. And I'm not saying these guys would be good piece. I'm just saying somebody can run for a little bit with the, you know, like, so it seems odd to me. And you made a good point there with the other thing that I saw that I would have been concerned about with the Knicks is the free throw shooting when the game mattered. When it mattered, it was, nobody had it. And it was like became like a thing, just fucking foul them. They're not going to make both, you know?
And it's been a problem with them all season long. And for a while, we had a really reliable free throw shooter in Emmanuel Quickley, who was good at drawing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Fouls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge part of the reason why his he's great from the free throw line. That's why he gets a ton of points. That's why he's such a valuable asset. Like, he's going to get your points when the clock's not moving. That's huge.
That's the big and B trick, you know.
I mean, that's such a valuable talent to have. And we get people in foul trouble, sure. Like, mm-hmm. Brunson's fantastic at drawing fouls. And for the most part, he's a good free throw shooter, but like,
dude, that fucking the way he got Oubre and Batum both with the stop on a dime headbutt in the face thing, like, dude. It's a foul, so I'm not complaining, but like, goddamn, that's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm sure. And he's got a humongous head, so it probably doesn't feel great either. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, everybody always talks about how like unathletic he is or like whatever, but like, he sees the court really well and he's got great footwork. Like, he's so good at creating his own shot,
which is an interesting thing. Cause if you ask me, or I think I might've done it on another one where I said who my five, like on the MVP ballot were, it would have been Jokic, Luka, and Brunson is on there. I think I had him like five or whatever, but there's the three guys who nobody's calling athletic, despite the fact that they are pretty fucking athletic compared to a normal person, just not in the NBA body. And they play slower, but like, all right, so if three of the best guys are people that we're calling unathletic and slow, I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah, and like, there is just there's no measurement for hustle and determination, mm-hmm. too. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he is. Like, that's what he does, and that's why he's the leader of the team, and that's why everybody else does the exact same thing. Like, you don't have a lot of... look, a bunch of players in the league apparently don't want to play for Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, 40%.
Okay. Okay, like, fine. That's cool. You don't have to play for him. Like, you don't want to hustle. You don't want to run with these dudes. Like, you don't want to make, you don't want to dive into the fucking stands or, you know, make these big hustle steals or plays, whatever.
Well, like, we know most players don't want to do that. And that's to me the difference between the basketball we grew up watching and the stuff that exists now.
And the thing too, and this is why the series was close, the Sixers were doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were making hustle plays all game long.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's why I say like Kelly Oubre made some hustle fucking plays. He made
one of my favorite parts of the series, which is sounds a little ridiculous, was just Embiid diving for a ball at the end of game five. Just, you know, in the middle of the paint, just getting on the ground and getting after the ball. An injured guy playing with Bell's palsy, by the way, which came out in like mid series, which is crazy. Like, I don't know what that exactly does, but for a few games, I was wondering, why is his eye like that? And then finally get a diagnosis, like some clarity on it, like, oh. But anyway, just to see him, the star of the team, diving for a ball was like, all right, we don't often get this.
Dude, do you know how bad it would be if we had I was talking with a bunch of Knicks fans and I was like, yo, if they lose this series after being up 3-1, you got to fucking fire Tom Thibodeau. You absolutely have to fire him, especially after and this was obviously after game five.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's got to go. I'm like, because, and this is what I already have played out in my head how it's going to go. I'm like, we're going to fucking lose game six. They're going to go Saturday. They're going to come into the garden. They're going to come in with all the momentum. And Maxi is going to have the fucking game of his life. And That's it. And then it's going to be LOL mix all over again. And then like that, all of that fucking about 5 seconds after that loss. And then I just had to turn it off. And that's when I, you know, took a vacation from social media for a day.
I get it. I tend to not like to listen to any, and I listen to a lot of NBA podcasts all the time, every day. And when the Sixers lose, I'm not so quick to get to it. I eventually get to it because I feel like it's like a Band-Aid thing. Like I got to listen to one. I find like my most favorable like one. And then I like not Sixers favorable, just people I like. Usually it's like the mismatch. I'll put on the mismatch and I listen to that. And I'm like, all right, I can take it now. And then I can go through my usual cycle. But I got to avoid it for a little bit too. Yeah, I understand.
I do on losses or the days where I'll listen to the fan podcasts because they're like,
on your level.
It's kind of, well, yeah, it's on not so much on my level, but it's kind of like a big bro hug over it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, all right, man. Well, look, we could be June better from the free throw. What? And I like that. Like, I can't listen to like the like national podcasts when they're talking about that. Like, I'm not watching JJ Redick. Like when we were, I think there was a point where we lost like 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
And like JJ put out a video or something about like, are the Knicks in trouble? Like what's going on? Like, you know, is it finally coming? Like, and I'm like, I'm not watching that. I can't watch that now.
Well, I think one thing that I don't have to hear anymore is Embiid to New York. I think that's settled for a couple of reasons. I don't think anybody in New York wants him now, and you can't have him anyway. And two, I think he's more content to stay with Maxi performing the way he is. And I know I say this to a bunch of people recently, if they can just flip the fucking hierarchy in the fourth quarter and the ball goes to Maxi and Embiid is not a decoy, but you know what I mean? Just change the way the offense runs. Then it's a hell of a 1-2 punch. It's, you know, like,
yes,
like Brunson doesn't have another guy to step up. And like, if the Knicks do,
we're missing Randall. That's the guy.
Do you think that actually that's one of the thing here. Is there a Ewan theory thing here with Randall? Is the team, would they have been better in this series with Randall?
I think Game 3 would have gone different with Randall because I think he's a big physical presence that like he's not going to let anybody get pushed around. Mm-hmm. And like, he's just a big dude that's intimidating. That's it's harder to be physical against a team like that. You know what I mean?
But who's not, if he's out there, who's not?
That puts Josh Hart into the off the bench.
My thing though. Josh Hart was so important. Like it was the Villanova boys in this series, and Hartenstein had some good moments. That fucking
little, yeah.
I never want to see that little push shot again for his stupid ass. But
I don't know. They might not. He might be gone after this year.
Oh, is he a free agent?
He is a free agent. I want to see what the Knicks do. I would love to figure out a way to keep him because I think
he needs a backup. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Mitchell Robinson's good this series too when he was on the court. Mm-hmm. He played well. I thought was that in Game 2 where he was going out of bounds with it up in the air and threw it at Maxi and then got the ball back.
I don't know.
It was incredible. It was the most heads up Mitch play that I've ever seen. It was awesome to watch. it was really superb. He had such a great play there. But I agree with you. I think like Maxi, like we were saying, him and Embiid, them together, I think is a really big, I mean, you have to build around that. Mm-hmm. Maxi's only going to get better, man. Like
he's 23 years old.
He's so fucking good. And just going to get like, he got most improved player this year, right?
Yeah. But I don't think he should have. I think he was already, I think it should have been Kobe White, but, Because of the jump that each of them made. Maxi to me was already going, he was already borderline all-star, but of course favoritism of a fan, right?
And
Kobe White went from who gives a shit to, holy fuck, what's up with this guy? Dude,
yeah, I fucking hate him too. Like I hate his game, but he actually had a fantastic season this year. But it's just him, Paul Reed, and Embiid that are staying. They're gonna,
I believe that's everybody. The three. Yeah. And Paul Reed shouldn't be there. he was a restricted free agent last year, and Utah made him like a poison pill offer, and Philly matched it, and now we're kind of stuck with him. So yeah, that's it. As far as I'm concerned, that's the whole lineup. Three so guys.
So you think that they're going to replace all those other players?
I think they're going to have to. No, I mean,
just who do you think they're going? Who do you got your eyes on then for free agency?
Oh, everybody's Paul George is the name that everybody's saying. I don't know. I don't know that he wants to. Right. But you know, when they lost last night, he didn't have anything encouraging to say about sticking around either. So, whatever. That's the best case scenario, Paul George. Then I don't know. I really don't. There's not many options. So I don't know. I have no idea. But like this year, when they picked up like Oubre on a vet minimum, there's got to be guys around there. Like probably not you're not going to have the same luck, but there's players. There will be. Maybe you bring Lowry back. I don't care to, but maybe you bring Lowry back for one more year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you fill out that roster.
I want the Knicks to go after DeMar DeRozan.
That's a good one too. I think not a primary option. I think
you could also end up on the Sixers.
Yeah.
You could also end up on the Sixers.
That's a good point. Yeah.
They're probably going to want to get somebody at least that matches Maxey's timeline, because he's going to get an extension this summer, right?
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. They better lock him up for five more.
Yeah. So they're going to want to get people on a timeline with that. You know what I mean? But
I don't think you could be concerned about that timeline right now, because I think it's the timeline is the time to go is now, next season. Because Embiid's, his prime is dwindling already. I mean, I know he just won the MVP last year, but he's going to be 31. He's a 7'7", 300-pound center. Like, it's about to be over.
He does not look good. I don't know what they're going to do with him in the offseason. Like what kind of surgery he's going to have.
Oh, they please need to stop him from playing for the USA team. That needs to be eliminated right away. Get somebody new.
He can't. It would be so bad. How bad would the Sixers fans?
Oh, like, they're already losing it. Like, dude, you cannot do that. No. Yeah. Put Maxey on the team. Fuck it. Maxey can run on.
Maxey will be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. You guys are, you like Maxey is such a great player to build around. Like, how many comparisons is he getting to, like, cause I don't follow Sixers media. Well, right. Sixers media, but Philadelphia is like sports media very much. Like, how much comparison does he get to like AI from you guys?
Not much that I hear, but I also don't follow much Sixers or Philly media. I tend to be annoyed by Homer shit. Like, to me, there's not much similarities of him and AI in like any way. It's other than the jersey. Like, it's,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess they have similar finishing, but Maxey's a little bigger. I don't know. I mean, of course, AI is better, but I don't hear that comparison very much.
I just think like the excitement around the player is like probably haven't been. How have you been excited about a point guard as much
since absolutely
Allen not. Iverson? Like, it's like Allen Iverson and then Maxey, right? Has to be.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, no. Like, I mean, a point guard. If we're gonna say a point guard, Ben Simmons was a point guard, and he was a three-time All-Star and all NBA player and all defensive. Like, he's a fucking joke now, right? But there was a brief period of time where he was very fucking good. He didn't shoot the ball, but I mean, look, like I said, three times All-Star, I think maybe twice all NBA, at least once, all defensive, in the running for defensive player of the year. Like, he was a guy for a minute. That was pretty exciting when we thought we had a team, and when we thought we had a team with Ben Simmons, JJ Redick, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and Joel Embiid.
Yeah, dude.
Like, that was a brief, very, very brief window. It was half of a season, but it was a fucking stacked lineup at the time.
That was, And JJ had some of his best games as a Sixer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the podcast, like I guess the, like, you know, sports media podcast. Like, at this point, he's the only one I listen to, like, on the national level.
Do you do his with LeBron? Do you do the Mind the Game one?
I did the first episode.
Same here, and that's it, and I stopped. Yeah, it's too technical for me.
It's too technical for me, man. Yeah. I it may be something I'd be better off watching than listening to.
Yes.
Because I tried listening to it and it didn't work. So I might have to just like watch it and then it'll be like, it won't put me to sleep because it was putting me to sleep. If you actually, you know what, if you're having trouble falling asleep, like just put the audio version of that on and you will just then popping wine bottles and fucking talking about X's and O's. That's like,
when I listened to the first episode, I thought it was interesting, you know, because it's a new thing. And I was like, well, yeah. This is, you know, it's cool to hear them talk this way, but I did the same thing. I started to listen to the second episode and I was like, this is not a audio only thing. Like you can't, especially when he's talking about the actions they're going to discuss and the, you know, it's like, well, I can't imagine this in my mind. I have no idea.
I actually have a question for you. And I should have asked this last time, but like, as a Sixer fan, how do you feel about JJ Redick's comments on Doc Rivers? Like, do you think he was like out of line or do you think he was right? Because he was basically talking about how Doc Rivers doesn't take any accountability for himself.
I think he's right. But I think it'd be hypocritical for me as a fan of Embiid or the Sixers in general to say that they're not accountable, because it's kind of been a organizational thing. Every time there's a loss or big issue, it's like, well, it wasn't, you know, this, but I think it can certainly be said for Doc Rivers. Cause if you look, he said the same shit about when he was in Los Angeles, when he was with the Clippers, he's done the same type of trash where he just throws everybody else under the bus. It's never his problem. The guy has one championship and it's, a lot of fucking coaches have one championship.
Yep.
Like a lot of them.
Yep.
Nick Nurse has one championship. Frank Vogel has one championship. You know, like there's several.
Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah. A lot of guys without jobs have one championship. Doc's just more savvy and he's been around the league and the players respect him because he was a player, you know, himself. So he gets a lot of leeway that I don't think he necessarily should. I'm also not a Doc Rivers hater, despite the way I sound right now. I like accountability in all things. So I don't like blaming the fucking refs. I don't like blaming the coach. I like blaming the players. One of my favorite things about Philadelphia is that we blame the team more than the other team typically, right? It's our team fucked up. We don't like to give the credit that your team won. It's our team fucked up. But hold on. I want to say something though, because after game one and game two, I came to immediately appreciate something about the Knicks and their fans is that you guys don't bail on your team and boom the fuck out of the building when they get down or when they start to suck. The Knicks fans in this series were backing the Knicks at all times, at least from my perspective, where the Sixers fans, the minute you miss a shot, the minute you touch the ball, Tobias Harris, boo, get the fuck off the court. Like, and it's just the thing that we do. And it's not very, it's counterproductive to say.
Well, but that brings me to game four, the Knicks fans. It was a beautiful Sunday. Knicks fans hopped on the Amtrak, made their way down to Philly, took over the building.
Right.
And then which may or may not have contributed to a, you know, tight ending and a win. Mm-hmm. And Embiid made comments about the fans. And how do you feel about that? Like, how do you feel he was right? Because he was like, you know, this should have never happened. This is supposed to be a sports town.
Yeah, I totally agree with him. Yeah, that was a fuck up on the Sixers fan. I mean, I know there's all sorts of theories why that is happens, but I don't buy the fucking tickets. Tickets are expensive. Though. I ain't buying no tickets either. But fuck. I mean, yeah, you can't. And I have no problem with what they did in game six, saying, fuck it, we'll buy them and give them to, like, do whatever you got to do to win.
Yeah,
do whatever you have to do. Yeah, just don't let it happen again. Yeah.
Right. So that was like the other, what I think too is like, if game five turns out differently and the Knicks end up winning that after what happened in game four with the fans and everything, like, I don't know if Embiid would have wanted to stay in Philly.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think he would have been like, you know what, this town, like a crucial moment. Like, I'm playing on one leg and only one eye closes right now. and these people can't even be bothered to show up. And they, most of them live close.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right in the city.
So I think he might've bailed. I really do.
that was my big concern with him even coming back from injury. I was saying this when he was hurt, and I still am concerned about it now, that if he comes back, gives it his all, playing on one fucking leg, and he's like, guys, I did it. I'm trying as hard as I can here, and I'm getting no help, then I could understand him being like, all right, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
What I didn't anticipate happening was that Maxi would supply the help, you know, like be like, I'm here with you. Like,
yeah,
let's. And I think Maxi is going to be the reason why he wants to stay. If he wants to stay, who knows? You know how these things go. A week from now that you hear, he's unsure about it or something.
I think that Maxi is going to be the reason that he's going to stay, for the same reason that Brunson is going to attract a free agent or somebody for next season, depending on how far we go. Obviously, I want the Celtics.
Yeah. Let's get to that. How far do you think you go?
I think we can go. I think we can play the Celtics. So it really depends on the health of Kristaps Porzingis.
Who the fuck is Tingus Pingus?
Honestly. Tingus Pingus going to come back to.
But haunt this you. Is. But or yeah, it could be that, or it could be him not playing, and that's what you get when you sign Kristaps Porzingis to a contract. Mm-hmm. You risk that he's an injury prone player and his injuries take for a subliminally long time to heal sometimes. The only team that's not going to tell you that is probably the Washington Wizards.
Well, they had him for 1 year.
Right. And he remained healthy for most of that
year. Yeah. 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 So this is his best year.
Yeah. You know, we'll see how that goes. If he's not in, I think the Knicks can win that game or win that series. I think they have what it takes to play that team tough, to frustrate them. They played them well at the end of the season. Celtics can say, oh, we weren't playing for much or whatever, all they want, but doesn't matter. We beat you really badly on your home court. It's an ugly loss. And I think that gave the Knicks a little confidence in themselves. I think it gave them a little swagger going into the offseason or the postseason, excuse me. And I think that without KP, we can win that game. We can win a 7-game series with him. I don't know, but I really just also depend on, like, first of all, if that happens, even if we lose, the New York sports will be like the rivalry will now be really reignited. Like, now we are on the same level. We're playing you in the Eastern Conference Finals. If we end up one, you know, if we take that to a game 7 or even a game 6, like, dude, we're like 2 wins away from like going to the finals, you know, like it'll be electric around here, and Boston will be the same thing. It's good for sports. If the Sixers are part of that, it would be insane. It'd just be a really good time for the NBA. And so I think that would be awesome. And, you know, Knicks can play. I've played well on the road. So I wouldn't worry about, like, look how well they played in games. You know, they ended up playing in game 6. They played well in game 4. Like, they're a good road team, and they were a good road team all season long. So I think they can, and then Philly's a hostile environment. Boston's going to be a hostile environment. They're used to it. It's fine. I think that there's a world where the Knicks go to the finals this year. Is there a world where they win the finals? I don't think so. I just think that Denver's going to be really tough. I think they end up going the distance again.
Yeah. One of my only fears going forward in this playoffs is that Minnesota somehow beats Denver, and then there is not Denver standing in the way of the Celtics winning a championship.
I'm gonna be watching that. That's good. That's gonna be a good series. Like, because Anthony Edwards has been on another level. Nah,
he's awesome, man. It's like universally loved. You know, who doesn't like that guy?
Yeah, he just big hustle, just making clutch. Oh, dude, what a great first round pick. You know what I mean? Like, first overall pick. So good.
All right. Well, predictions for, I guess we don't know who Boston's playing yet, but we you and I talked about that offline, but tell me your thoughts on the Boston's upcoming series.
I'm low key rooting for the Orlando to win. A couple reasons. I think Banchero is a good player, and I'd like to just, you know, I like to see him advance a little bit. Even though it'd probably be terrible for confidence because we play them, you know, a bunch of times, but I respect this game. I want to see them win because I think that they can make, we talked about online, but they play the Celtics well. Mm-hmm. And, I think they can make that a series. Obviously they would tire the Celtics out a little bit more than if they played the Cavs, who I think they would just completely run through and sweep even without KP. I think they sweep them.
Yeah.
But I think Orlando would then get a sneak peek at what they need to beat the Celtics. And then again, just like the Knicks, they would have exceeded expectations when the season started. I don't think anybody saw them at the level that they're at.
No.
And they're young. They got picks. They can make moves. They can really change the course of themselves in the offseason this year and be yet another threat. And with like Miami, I think Miami's totally fading now. Mm-hmm. They're going to be the Florida team that takes it over. So that could be interesting to see. And, you know, like I said, they could tire the Celtics out a little bit. It's not going to hurt our chances if the Celtics are a little bit tired in a game seven where the Knicks have been doing cardio for two series already and, couldn't do anything but help us.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Anything to slow him down. I was looking at just stats earlier today. And I know everybody likes to gush about Derek White and also talk about how nobody talks about Derek White. That motherfucker is like leading the playoffs in three pointers made and also true shooting percentage. And it's like, what? That's not supposed to match up. You know,
he kills us, man. Derek White can come out and kill you. Just like the like Buddy Hield. I fucking hate Buddy Hield. I do too.
That was the one good game as a Sixer. That's a rental that's not coming back. I can guarantee.
Yeah, he ain't coming back.
Yeah.
I don't know where he ends up next, but he'll come out and kill you. He did it when he was in Indiana. He did it in Sacramento to us. Like once he gets going, and you know Derek White is that guy too. Mm-hmm. He's not to be slept on, man. Celtics are a tough team. They're a really good team.
Yeah. I just don't like saying it out loud.
I hate it. I hate it. I don't want them to win. I really don't. I think Joe Mazzulla is just so inept. I don't know.
I don't think it matters who's sitting in that seat. It doesn't matter who's coaching that team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Al Horford is the fucking coach of that team.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
So I think, and then at that point, I think the Celtics, obviously, they get through them.
Agreed. All right. Well, have the Knicks met your expectations for the season? And I say that because what my hopes and dreams were for the Sixers this year was kind of like you mentioned, just to get to the conference finals, not even win, just to get there, which they failed at. So I'm curious what your metric was going into this year. Did they meet your expectations going in from the beginning? Maybe it's changed now, but
it's a difficult thing because at the beginning of the season, it was, you got to get past the second round. That was like what you have to get into the conference finals at this point. Like, doesn't really matter after that. Like, once you get there, that's a huge step, but you got to get there. And now, once some of those trades happened, like with OG, we can maybe push it to a game seven. or you know what I mean? Like, we can maybe do this. And then the injuries take a step back, step forward, step back, step forward. So now I don't know. I mean, I think that the Sixers are such a tough team and they're going to be a tough team for a long time. And with Maxie and Embiid, it's going to be relentless. As long as they're playing together, they're going to be tough. The fact that we got through that series in six, I think a game seven for the Eastern Conference Finals is my metric. Like, if you can get to a game seven and be one win away from the finals, I think you would be really impressed. Like, you're at where you should be.
Well, I do hope you get there. Cause if I have to pick anyone to come out of the East right now, it'd probably be like fucking Indiana or somebody that's not going to do it. Right. But, but that's just because there's no real rivalry between the Sixers and Indiana. That's all that is. But I expect it's going to come down to the Knicks Celtics. And for that reason, I want the Knicks to beat the Celtics, of course. But, if hypothetically the Knicks somehow lose this series to Indiana, what is that?
Oh, that's disappointing, but there's a crutch there, and that crutch is, well, we didn't have our second best player, Julius Randle.
Right. Yeah. It's built in for the whole year.
So it's built in, like, they played so well in the first series that I think that it still makes them a team on the up and not a team on the down if they lose.
Right. I guess that was kind of where I was going, is I think no matter what, the Knicks are good for the year. I think this winning this series, the nature of it, is it makes this season a success.
Because like I would say I am 93% sure that the Knicks are going to beat the Pacers. in this series. And I am about 50% sure, maybe 51% sure that they're going to do it in five. But there is a part of me that sees Rick Carlisle outcoach Tom Thibodeau and send his team into the Eastern Conference Finals, where they will get destroyed by the Celtics.
Yeah.
And then if it's not Denver, the Celtics are going to win the NBA championship. Mm-hmm. And I think
it's not a world we want to live in.
If you say that backwards and you go, oh, they're the Knicks end up in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics, it is, they are not going to get through the Knicks the same way they would get through the Pacers.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's the difference in, and that's the reason why I think the Knicks are going to win. I just think that they're not, Indiana is not the, not on our level yet, because they're a young team and they're, and you know, they'll, they will be there. They're not, they're a good team, and there's no reason to think that they can't be the fourth seed next year or even the third seed next year. Like they could take a huge jump. But I just don't see them getting anywhere and sniffing the NBA finals.
Agreed. Agreed. Kind of rooting for you. Kind of not.
I got you.
Yeah. Wait. One last thing. Why does Jalen Brunson do the shocker to his face when he makes a basket?
I don't know why he does that, but
that's the only thing about him I don't like, is the shocker to the face. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. He's the point god in New York City right now. That guy is he's the king of New York.
Yeah.
And the one thing he did where he's like doing this, I was like, oh shit. But he, I don't know what that is. I've never really even looked into that, to be honest with you. I just thought it's just, you know, like point at the elbow type of shit. And I didn't really think too much of it. But I'm going to have to look into that now.
So there you have it. That was my conversation about that first round series between the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers with Brian Birdsey of Lesser Minds and Hundreds of AU. In fact, he had his first show ever last night with Hundreds of AU. Be on the lookout for that band. They're already out there, but no material with him on it. That's why we're going to end this episode with another track from Lesser Minds. This one is from the Saved Trojans EP. This is The Trojan.
Boom shakalaka! Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.